Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Morning, Grant. Thanks for talking to Radio Info. Congratulations on good results in difficult times. I'll get to them in a minute. But first, I want to ask you about something that's happening today on the HIT Network as part of that, I presume, leaner operating model you spoke about in the results. Can you tell me what's happening with HIT regional breakfast shows?
Thank you for the question, Stephen. No, I can't tell you at this point in time. There's certainly some changes across the business, but respectfully, I will issue a statement later in the day that will provide some detail for you.
Fair enough. Thank you. Got to try. You announced no dividend for shareholders next year. Are you keeping a bit in the bank in case COVID continues to hit business hard in the next year?
Yeah, I think most businesses have looked very hard at whether it is responsible to pay a dividend in these uncertain times. We have taken the decision not to pay a dividend at this point, as many companies in Australia have. And, you know, what we need to see is a stronger recovery and a level of sustainability in terms of the opening up of economies. And, you know, whilst we sit here with very high liquidity and $271 million of cash on hand, which we will effectively apply to our debt, bringing us down to a historic low debt level of $130 million. At this point in time, any company with a level of high liquidity, I think, is a good thing. And I think shareholders respect that the company must first and foremost look after its fiscal and economic responsibilities at this point. So as soon as we can get back to rewarding our shareholders with a dividend, we will. And we've given some indication as to when that will be, which is effectively a resumption of paying a dividend in FY22.
Now, you reduced debt by quite a significant amount with your various programs and also positive earnings across all quarters. Can you talk about that?
Yes, most definitely. So first and foremost, we raised $169 million through a capital raising at the onset of the crisis, which was early April. That obviously improved our liquidity very strongly. We also implemented a series of cost measures and commitments to the marketplace. And in doing that, we delivered on the high side of that. In actual fact, in Q4, we reduced our cost base by $65 million across that quarter. And effectively from that, we haven't used any of the funds that were raised through the capital raising for operating costs. So therefore, that sits as cash on hand. And effectively, when applied to the reduction in net debt, that effectively accelerates the reduction by some 55% from where we are today, down to a net debt level of $131 million.
And I see you got a little windfall from the government with $16 million from JobKeeper. Has that been important for the company?
I think so. I think it's been important for SCA and it's been important for a lot of businesses in Australia, because I think JobKeeper, you know, given the uncharted waters we've all been through, the recognition by government that employees and companies needed assistance. And obviously, we employ a lot of people around the country. So with that, we end up with a sizable and grateful JobKeeper payment. Whether we're applicable for the next JobKeeper 2 remains to be seen. But we certainly endorse the leadership that the government has applied in this time of crisis. And we also recognise that they did create a fund to recognise regional journalism through the Ping Fund. And we were obviously a recipient of that fund to the tune of $10 million.
What are you doing with that money? Is it all going to hire journalists?
It's going for a multitude of things. So as you would realise, the guidelines for the Ping Fund are about sustaining journalism in the regions, creating new products. So we have a very strong group of people around the country. As I said earlier on, we operate in 105 markets around Australia. So it has been dispersed wide and far to actually underpin both existing and bring some new products to market as well.
Metropolitan radio advertising declined by about 25%. It's not unexpected in the pandemic, but can you just give me a little flavour of how that's affecting metro stations?
Yeah, I think in metro, obviously there's been a more dramatic impact, as we've called out today, in the metro markets than in the regions. And I think it's twofold. Firstly, we have a population density within the metro areas, and all media companies obviously report from, for the most part, from a lot of metro operations. And effectively what we've seen is that metro markets have been hit harder than the regions. Secondly, you know, we've always looked at this, that about 20% of national marketers didn't exist anymore, and that's principally related to travel sectors and related. 20% of the top end, which includes telcos, government, actually spent more, and about 60% in the middle spent less to varying degrees. And therefore, what we saw on an overarching capacity was a sharp deterioration across those 2 months. So metro has been hit harder than the regions. And I think now that we look back in hindsight, we can see why that has occurred, because the health crisis has fundamentally hit metro markets harder. And I think advertisers, obviously adjusted from that. I think respectfully as well, like our business, national businesses operating principally from metro markets, cut spend in marketing and advertising and promotion. And, we've done that. I know other companies have done that all across Australia, but we're slowly starting to see those companies come back now. And that's evidenced through improving recovery rates in revenue across into June, July, and now August. All goes well from that perspective moving forward. And I think what we'll continue to see, hopefully, unless there's further regression at a medical level, that we'll see markets opening up, we'll see hopefully borders opening up, and we'll see advertisers leaning in to take the opportunity of the hibernation that they've been in for some part over the last 3 to 4 months.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Yes, and I know that SCA has been doing a lot of study work and promotional work at just letting advertisers know that there's a strategy to keep your advertising going and to think about recovery. We've certainly been covering that on Radio Info too. I think the evidence is there from past recessions that if you can manage to keep advertising, then you'll do better when the turn-up comes back.
Yeah, there's no question. And we have multiple layers of activity occurring at any one point. So we have, alongside our industry peers at CRA, we have considerable investment in the pulse surveys, investment in talking to our audiences in radio. Secondly, we're talking to our audiences in metro about being sustainable and ensuring they understand the value of investing in the markets and their brands. We've also got Boomtown, naturally. Now, those efforts are about 4 years old for SCA. They're about 2 years old for Boomtown, and that continues to educate national advertisers of the economic value of regional markets. Pleasingly, we've really seen 4 years of improvement across the year. So, there are a range of things. And two things I'd like to call out. We went into a series called Brand New World as a podcast, which was about talking directly with marketers about why they should reconsider the hibernation and leaning back into it. And of course, on a consumer-led and SME basis, we created Shop Local. And Shop Local operates from anywhere with an SME from Parramatta to Bunbury. And we have seen enormous benefit from Shop Local because it's resonating with local audiences in local communities, whether they're in metro or regional. And effectively, we're seeing that camaraderie come through, and those businesses are understanding that, if you can support a local business wherever you might reside, that is very good for your fellow community members, for your state, and fundamentally for all of Australia. So those have been really strong initiatives that were born out of the crisis of COVID. and I think we'll actually have more of a lasting life after COVID than we originally envisaged.
Yeah, I think that's true. And certainly, you know, if you're in lockdown and can only venture 5 kilometres from your home, and then if you're seeing your local coffee shop maybe threatened with closing, there is that sense of just, okay, well, look, I'll go for my walk and I will stop by the coffee shop and I'll buy a coffee just to keep these guys going. There is that heightened sense of local camaraderie, as you say.
No question. And, you know, we've got many local coffee shops in my area, and you have to share yourself around. You have to walk across the road to the opposite side of the road and talk to that coffee or cafe, and you have to, you know, gracefully say, sorry, I have to go and see someone else today.
Yes.
So from that end, you've got to share yourself around. I think that sort of shares the economic burden and the economic opportunity on the way through, and I think everyone will come out of that in a better mental state and hopefully better economic state too.
And just a last comment, if you would, about regional radio. It performed better, and as you've mentioned, the Boomtown campaign, and I think the lower COVID impact in regionals probably is the reason for that.
I think that's right. Back to our population density, you know, whilst just under 40% of Australians live outside of metro, you know, it is across a very vast geography, and we operate in every one of those geographies. And we can assure you we're tapped into, you know, the mood of every one of those local markets. And effectively, we haven't seen that same denigration. We've seen concern. We've seen desire for information and education. And we try and facilitate that through both our TV and radio assets. More importantly, our radio assets in many ways, because it's live and local. And there is a talkback mechanism with that, which television doesn't naturally provide. So, you know, we deeply value our relationship with all of the regions, large and small. And I think everyone's recognising that at a government, state and local level. And I actually do believe that there is increasing appreciation for what the regions have endured in certain cases, whether it's the bushfires or floods or cyclones or now COVID. But in actual fact, less in COVID than some of the metro markets. Nevertheless, you know, I think we're all travelling more. We are appreciating their ability to lean in and the lifestyle that they operate in. So, you know, it gives me great joy to go and see all of our people in different markets. And the lifestyle is outstanding. And I do know that it's very funny as you walk along beach in a certain place here and there, people will say hello, and you say to yourself, I'm not sure if I know them, but I think I know I'm in Boomtown. So it's always a nice place to be. So, listen, we value it a lot. It is a very strong and stable and growing asset within our business.
Grant Blackley, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.